Blog Talk Radio.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consume in fire, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Come like a rushing wind, clothe us with power from on high. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your praise.
Lord, let us in a hope of just a
Welcome to Reaching Out Radio, where we're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We're so excited tonight, for tonight is our 100th episode since God called us to step out on faith and start this radio ministry. So we thank you for your love and your support and for being a part of helping us grow, listening on demand, listening live. Just really want to thank you for that. We just want you to know all that we do here is for the glory of God, and we really do want to reach people that they may know the truth about Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to be co-hosting. Your host tonight is my dear, beautiful, anointed sister in Christ. She's an evangelist, an amazing gospel singer. Evangelist Mary Grable is with us, and she's going to be teaching tonight on God's consuming fire. And the song was speaking about that. I want to welcome her tonight to her show. I love you, my dear sister. I'm excited to see what God's led you in your teachings. It's always anointed and powerful, and God works and moves in you in a mighty, mighty way. So welcome tonight, and God bless you in your show.
Thank you so much, and you be blessed. Praise the Lord. You know, I really just want to pray because I had, you know, I want to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. And I had my topic ready for Saturday, and so today is Monday, but between then and now, something kind of happened, and I'm going to kind of put it in. See, I'm kind of on Facebook, and sometimes you think people you're letting in, you know, really love the Lord because they got Jesus, you know, church of whatever, you know, whatever. You never know what's in the back of the name of that, so. You know, I love people, so I start kind of letting them in, and I kind of let the wrong people on my Facebook, and maybe it was the right person, the right people that I let in on my Facebook, but, you know, we're going through this homosexuality and lesbianism and stuff, and that's what it was, praise God, and my book, and I said something about it, and I started getting all of these, I started getting all these messages from everywhere. And different kind of beings and all of that stuff. And so, you know, I didn't know how to delete it or to clean it off. So I took my phone to the company and asked them to clean that off for me. My God. Because when I said God didn't make man and woman, he made a man and woman. Oh, they didn't like that. They start coming against that. But, you know, the word is true. And one thing about God's word, I said God, capital G-O-D. His word. He gave his son, and the Bible let us know that Jesus is the word. You know? And no matter what we think about the word of God, you can't change it. If God say hell is real, it's real. If he said it's fire, you know, I know this is not the consuming fire I'm talking about in the message tonight, but if he's saying hell is real and it's brimstone and fire and all of that is that, no matter what we think about it, no matter how we try to cover it up, and no matter how we try to say, well, I'm living in hell here, sure? You think so. But one day, you will find out when it's too late. So, you know, I'd rather know about things now, and when God says something, you know, I know when he gives us the Bible as a roadmap from here to glory, you know. And when we don't know where we're going or which way to go, you know, God give us a roadmap, the Bible. But the Bible also say, how can we hear, say, unless we hear someone talking about the word of God, you know, and a preacher or whatever, but people that God got sitting right in the place around you, or people's ministering to you. And if you're a homosexuality person or lesbian or something like that, Jesus loves you. He died for you, but you cannot change the word, because he did not make man for man and woman for woman. He made man and woman, Adam and Eve. He made woman and man and a woman, because he made the man first. We're born a man, but then we want to be a woman. We're born a woman and we want to be a man. That's the trick of the devil, because he is a liar. And God made you perfect just the way you are. You don't have to try to change yourself. Those are demon spirits and all that stuff. Those things can be broken off and washed in the blood of Jesus, praise God. He's our healer and our deliverer, our soon coming king. And he loves you. And it doesn't matter what your flesh wants you to believe. Get into the word. It's your roadmap. And I tell you, you don't even have to ask anybody. You can ask God yourself. Say, Lord, make me known. Make yourself known unto me. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Just the way you want him to do it. I remember, and I'm going to go on into my subject in a minute. I remember when I was running from God and I wasn't saved, and old people behind my parents' back used to say to me, you'll never talk. Because, see, I had a problem. I don't understand today how people can be envy and jealous of other people if they life is like perfect. I say perfect. You know, nobody perfect but God. But, you know, didn't have the struggles and all this stuff in life. Wasn't handicapped. But, you know, when God heal and deliver someone, then they're going to look at them like, you know, whatever, you know, or the envy, the job, whatever. You know, you had to catch up when you had a problem. It wasn't like you could do everything like someone else did when you were born and you went on through life, you know, being made perfect, you know, the way you needed to be or whatever. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, the older people was laughing at me behind my parents' back, and I didn't want to really be around older people. So when I got saved, God knew not to let me see Doc Summerall. He was old. But when I heard him on the radio and I was something I needed because I was hooked up on cigarettes, oh, my God. Smoked a lot and I couldn't get delivered. Every time I got off of one and smoked it, you know, and didn't have any more, so I'm not going to go by anymore. But I did because I was hooked. And this is what I'm trying to say to you. God knew that I wanted to be saved deep down in my heart. He knew that I needed him, but I didn't want to hear older people witnessing to me or telling me. And God made sure that that didn't happen. So that's what I'm telling you. Whichever way you want God to minister to you, he would do that. Because he sent his word, which was Jesus, to heal and deliver you. And he'll do it. If you want him to tell you, hallelujah, or whatever, whichever way he have to go. For you to believe, get into the word, and he'll make his stuff real unto you. Okay, praise the Lord. God, open up our hearts and let us receive what you want us to hear today. And oh, be mighty in us, Lord. Let miracles flow. Let healings flow. Let the Shekinah glory flow through our life for you. We're your hands and your feet. We're your mouth, Lord. Use us in a great and a mighty way for your honor and your glory. Being on fire every day for the Lord. And, you know, and God, you know, is a consuming fire. And God is a God of miracles, a God of healing, a God of deliverance. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we need to think, oh, God, how do I get from A to Z, or how do I get there, you know, when I want miracles to flow in my life, or when I want the Shekinah glory or the gifts of healing to flow through me, or for myself to be healed and delivered and made free. God has so many different ways, but through Jesus, which is the Word. He's the Word. He's our healer. He's our deliverer and our soon-coming King. Preparing your heart for a miracle and healing from God. God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. You know, even when Moses went up on that mountain, it was a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses was up there when he did those commandments, my God. But you know what? God had his life staked in the Lord also, though, you know. So that's one way to be what God wants us to be, with these things flowing from us. God is letting us know, for I am the Lord, and I change not. You know, we're living in a world today where everything is changing. Everything is changing. But God is saying, I change not. That means, you know, when someone is not changing, you know, you can bank on that, because everything else is changing. But he say, I change not. So, you know, God is our healer, our deliverer, and our soon-coming King. For I am the Lord. I do not change. God say, I do not change. God said he does not change. We change. Different things change, our jobs change, and everything else. Sometimes our heart even change. But God changed not. He say, I am the same yesterday, right now, today, and forevermore. God never changes. We might change, but he don't change. He stay the same. See, and Jesus is the Word of God. He put on flesh, and he dwell among us, and he do not change. Jesus is the Word, that roadmap that we need. That's why, you know, no matter what people say, you know, everything might change, but hey, what's in the Word? It doesn't change. God is not going to fix hell for people that want to go there different. It don't change, and they cannot take that out of the Word. Out of the vocabulary. Praise God. You know, we want to change everything. But if some things in life will stay the same, that you really cannot change. So I'm going to go on into the Word. God do not change, and Jesus is the Word. We know the Word put on flesh, and it dwells among us. And, you know, sometimes, the way that God is telling us to meditate day and night and to read our Word, you know, to sharpen ourselves up, to get in that place that he wants us to be in, you know, because, oh, my God, we want miracles and healings, and we want the Shekinah glory, you know. And Jesus is the Word. And faith worketh by love. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the work that I do, will he do. And also greater works than these, because he go unto the Father. Greater works than these shall you do, because Jesus go unto the Father. He goes unto the greater one. Jesus came that we may have a right to the tree of life. And, you know, when Jesus came, And God, and you know, before he left, he said, greater work shall we do because we go unto the Father. He didn't say, greater works we will do because the disciples go unto the Father. He didn't say that. He said, greater works shall we do because he go unto the Father. And you know what? James tell us, say, if anybody is sick or whatever, he tell us to call on the church to pray, the elders of the church to pray for people that are sick, need to be healed, delivered, and made free. You know, God got a roadmap for the things that, the way that he wants us to do things in our life. He said, when we're sick, you know, we can call on the elders of the church and let them pray over us and let them anoint us with oil. Name of the Lord and the faith, the prayer of faith, will save the sick and raise them up. And God will forgive sin. And he will deliver them and heal them. Praise God. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will forgive sin because we all have sinned sometime or another and came short of the glory of God. Sure, we have repented here and there, but sometime maybe we've been different things or whatever and don't even, you know, sometimes we don't see everything about ourselves, okay? The Bible speaks somewhere in the word about a log in my eye, you know, when it might be a little toothpick or whatever, a straw in someone else's eye, you know. So sometimes we don't see, I don't see myself when I got a log sticking out, and when I turn around, I'm hitting everything. I don't see myself when I'm hitting everything. I don't see myself. So we have to repent, you know, going through life when we're sick and we need to be healed, or, you know, we need to call for the elders at a church, or call for those prayer people, the people that know how to pray, people that know how to reach God to bring forth that miracle or that deliverance that you need in your life. Praise God. Jesus also said, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we can say to the mountain, we can say to that sickness, we can say to that disease, we can say to whatever it is in our life, we can tell that mountain to move. And the Bible say it shall go if we tell it to move. But we have to have faith. If we have faith, God have given all of us a measure of faith. See, sometimes we don't use our faith. But God have given all of us a measure of faith. And Jesus said, it will go from you. If you say move, it will go. Because Jesus said it. He's the word. And faith is faith. God have given us all a measure of faith, a mustard seed of faith. And we know nothing is impossible with God. But God wants us to know, as we get into the word of God, meditating day and night on that word, eating that word, to build that faith up within us. You know, I used to go to the book of Hebrews and get into that 11th chapter, and I would just sit there and eat that book, faith by faith. Faith. I would just sit there and eat that book up for my faith to rise up in me, for, you know, for me to be able to use the faith and have the faith I needed to move mountains or whatever. But I used to get into that book of faith, by faith. And the Bible let us know faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of something not seen. We don't see it, but we got faith to know that when we pray and when we believe God, he'll do it for us by faith. And even when God give us a mustard seed of faith, you know, when we plant that seed in the ground, it don't stay just the mustard seed. When we plant it in the word and we get in that word and we start eating the word, oh my God, developing ourselves in the word of God, for miracles to start flowing, for people to get healed, delivered. When we pray, when we develop that faith that we need to have in the Lord by being in the Word, by fasting and praying, by doing the things that God wants us to do, so we can see mountains move. And if it'll move because of a grain of a mustard seed, just think, when we really get into the Word and build up our faith, end up being a giant in faith, telling that devil to move, loose here. I bind you, I cast you out into yonder places. By faith. God did this. God did that. By faith. My God. By faith. But without faith, the Bible let us know that it is impossible to please Him. But how can you not have faith if God give you a measure? A measure. Did you give it away because without faith? But God then gave you a measure of faith. You want to hold on to that faith. You want to activate that faith with the Word. You want to keep the faith that God has given you. You want it to grow. And if God say a mustard seed of faith and we can speak to a mountain and it'll move, think about when you activate that faith in the Word of God day and night, activating that faith, eating that Word, being built up in God. I mean, more than mountains won't move. Miracles, my God. Healings, deliverance. Oh, shout out to your shout. The category. Woo, glory. My God. Made me think about when I was singing about a month ago and on the stage, and maybe I shouldn't tell it very well, because God is in all of us, and He uses us the way He wants to use us. We can get as more of God as we want. All we got to do is put the time in to God and do what God wants us to do and be what He wants us to be. But anyway, I was singing, and the Shekinah glory just fell all over the place. God do what He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. But we want to eat the Word. We want Jesus to be in the house. We want Him to live in us. We want Him to move and reign within our being. See? And the Bible say, signs and wonders shall them that believe. So as we get into the Word and start eating that Word, start believing, my God, in what God wants us to believe in, and believing in what He said instead of what somebody else want to tell us He said. We want to get into that Word to know that when somebody is preaching and when they feeding us corn, we eat it. When they putting out a cob, we want to throw it away, because if you don't get in the Word and eat it for yourself, you don't know what to throw away. You don't know what to digest, and you need to know. We need to grow up in the Word of God. We need to call sin, sin, and salvation, salvation. We need to learn how to move in the realm of the Spirit for God to heal and deliver and whatever He wants to do. But without getting into that Word, we will never know, because we need to know the Word. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. That little mustard seed God done put in you. Everybody, a grain of a mustard seed. You want to activate that seed. You want that seed to grow. You want the power of God to flow through you like never before. You want to break yokes and bondages. You want people to be healed and delivered and made free. And I know it's different types of healing and deliverance in the Lord. Sometimes people receive a miracle, of course. Sometimes maybe they receive a gradually healing. And sometimes God do it whenever He get ready to do it. My God, because patience possesseth ye our soul. My God. But we serve a great and a mighty God. I was going to say a mountain-moving God. Praise God. But, you know, God is good, and all we have to do is ask God to increase my faith, the Lord. My faith needs to be activated. I need more faith within you. Increase my faith, and he will do that. Because God has given us all that little mustard seed of faith, and as we get into the word, start eating that word and meditating day and night so we can know how to handle that word skillfully, you know. And when somebody's trying to feed us a cob, whether we say something or not, we know to throw the cob away and eat the word that they give. But if we don't study and show ourselves approval to God, we will never know whether we eat word or cob and word. So we need to know. We need to grow. We need to be effective in the word of God. We need to be effective in him. And which way do we go, or how do we get that? By being in the word. Jesus is the word. He's the word. And he put on flesh, and he dwells among us today. And when he was here, he showed us how to live, and he showed us how to go forth and to pray, how to meditate, you know. Jesus fasted. Jesus prayed. And, you know, we think we don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. Hey, Jesus is God in the flesh. If he had to do it, you don't think you have to do it? Or you don't want to do it? Maybe something into that. Maybe miracles happen a lot more when we fast than when we pray. And when we get into the word of God, praise God, and the discernment come forth so we can discern things around us. We can see far, you know. But God, increase my faith within you. Open up your word for my understanding. I can know your word, praise God. So God wants us to believe in him, because nothing is impossible for you that believe on him, for you that believe in the word. So God wants us to keep our eyes on him, get into that word, meditate day and night, fast and pray. And God wants to move mountains. He wants miracles to be going forth and happening in our life. And what a great way for us to activate that little mustard seed, and, you know, in the word of God, and praying and fasting, because Jesus prayed, Jesus fasted. So what I found out, that when we fast and pray, healings and deliverance come forth. Fasting and praying. Sometime when you need a healing, go on turn the plate down. You need to be delivered. Hey, Jesus, he fasted and prayed. The devil came to him when he knew that Jesus was hungry, when he had got up that fast, telling him what he was going to do for him. Now, look, that's God in the flesh. He had everything. What could he give him? Nothing. When you have God in your life, when you have the word on the inside of you, when you are living the way God wants you to live, what in the world can the devil bring and put on your plate that you will accept it? Over all of that God has given you, all that word, and you're going to push it all back and take what the devil say. Huh? Ooh, my God. Because he's a conning. You know, he cons people. He's playing the same trick that he always have played from when Jesus was here to now. So when will we learn to stand firm in the Lord and to let Satan know where he's going, because he's already doomed. You're not. You have a chance to be saved, but Satan don't have that chance, because, hey, God doomed him right out of heaven, because he's on his way straight to hell. But he's in there He's in the earth lying to you and to me if he can, or whoever. He come to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. You think Satan won't lie about something for you to get off track? Of course. Will he use somebody? Of course. But we serve a big and a mighty God. That's why we have to be prayed up, rooted up, girded up for battle, because Jesus already done it. We might have little bitty wars here and there, but honey, Jesus won battles here and there. But the war have already been won because Jesus won the war. And we don't have to worry about it because it's already been done. He won the war. We have the victory. And, you know, some people, you know, when they pray and they ask God for healing, some people receive healing, a miracle right then. Some people, they receive a gradually healing. And some people receive sometime a healing that's gradually long. But then God come through. But you know, God is our healer and our deliverer. And he heals and delivers all of us. All we have to do is want him to do it. The best way to get a healing, hon, is turn over your plate. When we go on a fast, healings and deliverance come forth like never before. And I know that. I remember one time, too, when I used to fast a lot and really just eat that word a lot. God gave me time to do that. And I took that time that I had at home to, put it in the word and to be on my knees fasting and praying. And I remember one time it seemed like I had a flu or something like that, and I went to the drugstore to get me something to take, you know. And when I was there, I bought some NyQuil. And when I got back home, I read it, and it had alcohol, 99% alcohol, and I said, ooh, I can't take this. I don't know why I didn't read it when I was at the store, right? Got home and read that, and I put it on the shelf and went to bed. When I woke up, God had healed me. Oh, God, my faith had made me whole. I wasn't looking for that. But when I decided not to put that in my body, you know, I know some.
Sister Mary, can you hear me? It looks like we're having a connection problem. Why I'm waiting for her to get back on the line. I will pull up a song and wait for her to call back in. I don't know if we lost connection through cell phone or if it's something through the studio, but I'll share a song right now as we wait for her to call back in. I'll actually pull up her song, her own original song, I Want to Be Healed. Yeah. Praise God. Such a beautiful and anointed song by our dear evangelist, Sister Mary Grable. And I think she's having some cell phone connection problems, so I'm going to wait in faith and hope she gets back on the line. And she's been talking to you tonight about God's consuming fire. And maybe some of you really don't understand, what does it mean that God is a consuming fire? See, God is first defined as a consuming fire in Deuteronomy 4:24 and 9:3. The writer to the Hebrews reiterates warning the Hebrews to worship God with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. There is nothing mysterious about the Hebrew and Greek words translated consuming fire. They mean exactly that, a fire that utterly consumes or destroys. How, then, can a loving and merciful God also be a consuming fire that utterly destroys? In both Deuteronomy passages in which God is called a consuming fire, Moses is speaking first to warn the Israelites against idolatry, Deuteronomy 4:23-25, because God is a jealous God and will not share his glory with worthless idols. Idolatry provokes him to a righteous anger, which is justified when his holiness is disrespected. And I really love us to go to the word when it shares in the scriptures where it was just talking about. And in Deuteronomy 4:23-25, take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger. And as we go on, as it was sharing, God is a jealous God. In Deuteronomy 9:3, the word tells us, know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you, so you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly as the Lord has promised you. Moses again refers to God as a consuming or devouring fire who would go ahead of the Israelites into the promised land, destroying and subduing their enemies before them. Here again we see God's wrath against those who oppose him depicted as fire that utterly consumes and destroys anything in his path. Hold on one moment. I have a call from a dear brother coming in from all the way from Nepal, and he's going to be on the air tonight. If you give me one moment, please. I'm sorry for the disruption. Hello, dear brother.
Sister, so I should call right now to the station?
Yes, go ahead and call into the station. I'm actually live and was just talking about you. So if you want to go ahead, I'm sharing something on consuming fire and waiting for my other host to come back on. But go ahead, and I'll get your mic open, and I'll have you introduce yourself in just a moment. So go ahead and call into the station. All right. God bless you, brother. Bye. As I was just sharing, that's one of my dear brothers in Christ. He's going to be an all-the-time minister here with us on Reaching Out Radio, calling all the way from Nepal. And he's going to be on here in just a moment sharing with us. I'm hoping Sister Mary's okay. I'm not hearing back from her. And I'm really hoping that she's okay. And as we were talking about God's consuming fire, we were talking about destroying and subduing their enemies before them. Here again we see God's wrath against those who oppose him, depicted as a fire that utterly consumes and destroys anything in his path. There are several incidents in which God's wrath, judgment, holiness, or power displayed by fire from heaven. Aaron's son, Abihu, and Nadab were destroyed by fire when they offered a profane sacrifice, strange fire in the tabernacle, a sign of their disregard to the utter holiness of God and the need to honor him in solemn and holy fear. The confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel is another example of consuming fire from God. The prophets of Baal called upon their God all day long to rain fire from heaven to no avail. Then Elijah built an altar of stones, dug a ditch around it, put the sacrifice on top of the wood, and called for water to be poured out over his sacrifice three times. Elijah called upon God, and God sent fire down from heaven, completely consuming the sacrifice, the wood, and the stones, licked up the water in the ditch. Then his anger turned against the false prophets, and they were all killed. When prophesying the destruction of Assyrians who resisted the true and living God and warred against his people, Isaiah refers to the tongue of the Lord as a consuming fire and his arm coming down with raging anger and consuming fire. Isaiah 30:27-30 tells us, "Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger and thick rising smoke. His lips are full of fury, and his tongue is like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overwhelming stream that reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve." God's holiness is the reason for his being a consumer fire, and it burns up anything unholy. The holiness of God is the part of his nature that must separate him from sinful men. The godless Isaiah writes, "Tremble before him. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with the everlasting burning?" Isaiah answers this by saying that only the righteous can withstand the consuming fire of God's wrath against sin, because sin is an offense to God's holiness. But Isaiah also assures us that no amount of our own righteousness is sufficient. Isaiah 64:6 teaches us, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Fortunately, God has provided the righteousness we need by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of all who would ever believe in him. In that one act, Christ mitigates God's wrath, exchanging his perfect righteousness for our sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Hallelujah. All the wrath of God was poured out onto Jesus so that those who belong to him would not have to suffer the same fate as the Assyrians. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31 tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we need not fear the consuming fire of God's wrath if we are covered by the purifying blood of Christ. Praise be to God. Where would we be without the blood of Jesus Christ? I'm so thankful for the blood that he shed on Calvary. Praise be to you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I have a special guest on the line, and I want to invite him on. And I'm hoping to hear back from Sister Mary. And right now, I want to invite my dear brother on as I'm waiting for Sister Mary. I'm so blessed. We have a new minister that's going to be joining us every other Monday, or sometimes possibly every Monday as God and the time allows. But I want to welcome him on tonight. I'm so blessed. I love how God connects me to people. You know, I encourage people in that. Be willing to open your heart to receive others, because God calls us to love others. He doesn't look at outward appearance. God searches our hearts. And when we are willing to open up and love others as Jesus Christ, what a blessing in the people that we can meet. And many times it's a part of God's divine plan. And I want to welcome you, dear brother. I think you're in the early a.m. there, but you're calling all the way from Nepal tonight. Share your testimony with us, and I welcome you. You're part of our family in Christ, and now you're also a part of the family ministry here at Reaching Out Radio. I welcome you tonight. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself and share as God leads you, and to share your testimony. Go ahead and share, dear brother.
First of all, I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I want to give thanks to God who gave me this opportunity to share my testimony. And also I want to give thanks to Sister Evangelist Montefield who gave me this opportunity to share my testimony in this radio. My name is Dhruva Salutel. I was born on October 21st, 1980 in eastern part of Nepal called Bhojpur district. I was born and brought up in a Hindu family. My parents and all my grandparents were pagans and idol worshippers. In my early childhood, I was an average student. While I was studying in my school, I was not good at all in my study. Every time, I used to have daydreams since my early childhood, up to while I was in my high school. Many times, I was failed in my school. It caused me to become mentally frustrated, and also, I was very sad. At the age of 10, I heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I got some tracts, but I couldn't understand what it meant. But I kept those tracts in my pocket for many days. After that, many times I heard the gospel, and I got many times gospel tracts. But only after 11 years, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. At the age of 18, I completed my high school, and I had great dreams. Desire to study science in a good college, but because of financial crisis, I could not afford myself for my education. So that I started to work to earn money. I became a low-class laborer and worker. I had a dream to be a medical doctor, but I became a worker, low-class laborer in a restaurant and in a garment factory in Kathmandu, Nepal. At that time, I used to earn $1 in 2 days. In those days, I was very sad. Every time, I used to get suicidal thoughts in my mind, and my heart also allowed me to commit suicide. Many times, I tried, but I couldn't. At the age of 21, I left Kathmandu district, capital city of Nepal, a beautiful city of Nepal, in the western part of Nepal. The purpose of my traveling to Pokhara was to commit suicide. I left my family members and my relatives so that I could commit suicide secretly. The very next day, I started to visit all the beautiful places of the beautiful city, all the lakes, caves, forests, and hills. I went and I found a high bridge. From there, I tried to jump and I tried to commit suicide. I was in a very beautiful city of Nepal. The beautiful mountains and lakes, including the Himalayas, attracted me, and I started to think, who created such beautiful nature? I saw many people were happy there. Many people came to that beautiful place to enjoy. But I was very sad, though I was in a beautiful place of the whole world. At that time, I looked to hands and to fingers, and I saw my fingers of my hand were so beautiful, and I was surprised. At that time, I was 21 years old, but I didn't notice about my beautiful fingers. After that incident, something stopped me to jump from that bridge. Then I went to visit that beautiful Pokhara city. At that time, I was very hungry, but I did not have money to buy anything to eat. When I came from Kathmandu to that city without money, I traveled. On the way, the staff of that bus asked me, "Bus fare or the money?" But I requested him. I did not have money to pay to him. And I requested him to allow me to travel by his bus. He allowed me, and safely I reached to that city. When my thought changed to commit suicide, I was hungry, but I did not have money to purchase any food stuff for me. And I went to a restaurant, and I met the owner of that restaurant, and I asked for a job, and he gave me a job to clean the vessels and kitchen utensils. The whole day I was working and cleaning the kitchen vessels, and after working for some hours, he gave me lunch. It was so tasty and delicious because since 2 days, I was very hungry. The owner of that restaurant allowed me to in the floor. After keeping some newspaper in that floor in the nighttime, he gave me breakfast, lunch, and dinner in a day, and also gave $10 for my 1 month wages. I was very happy. For me, it was a very great gift because life is always better than death. At least 1 month, I worked in that restaurant. One day, my uncle's daughter, my sister, came in that restaurant with her friend to have their lunch. I was so surprised to see her there. Later, we met each other there, and she offered me to come to her house to work with her. Later, I found that she and her husband were Christian missionaries, and they had a small daughter. They had a small restaurant. Later, I went with them. They allowed me to live in their residence and also gave me a job. They preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they led me to the church. After that, I went to the church with them, and I attended the church service, and also I heard the message. Later, the pastor of the church came to meet me to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in my sister's residence. The pastor preached me the gospel, and after some weeks, I went to the church and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, God gave me a dream and a vision, and it caused me to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In my dream, I was falling down and down, and I saw I was going to very dark feet, and many flames of fire were about me to touch. I was very fearful, so I call the name of Jesus God and Goddesses, and as I started to call your name, I was very close to the flames of fire, and I saw I was very near. I was very near and very close to the fire, and I saw I was going to be brought alive. So I started to cry and weep. That was, it was weeping. I started to look to the top of the top, and I started to cry, saying, "Please save me. And please save me." I saw those Hindu god and goddesses couldn't save me from the flames of fire. And I saw my eyes were lifted up to the high mountain where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, hanged on the cross. On the cross, he was alive. He was alive. And he was in great pain. At that time, he was not dead, but he was alive and he was moving his head. I saw blood was flowing from his head, and I cried unto him and said, "Lord Jesus, please save me." After that, the Lord Jesus Christ gave me his hand, and I hold his hand, and he lifted me up to the mountain and saved me from the flames of fire. Later, the Lord Jesus Christ placed me on the top of the mountain and told me, "This is heaven and this is hell." He gave me small and short clip of heaven and hell. In heaven, I saw very small and beautiful houses, but in hell, people were crying and weeping. I saw heaven as a golden city, a yellow city. Then the Lord Jesus Christ gave me something in my hand and told me to eat, and I ate, but I do not know what I ate. After that, somebody knocked the door and my dream. Then the very next day, I went to the church and told everything to the pastor. Then I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. After some months, I took water baptism, and I was growing in my faith. All these things happened in 2001 AD. After that, I had very strong desire to know the Word of God and to study the Bible. In my early days, I couldn't study, and even I didn't get privilege to study in a good college. Later, I heard that there are institutions they give biblical education. Then I was surprised to know about the Bible colleges. One day I went to the. One day I went to the same place where I tried to commit suicide and to jump from the high bridge. I started to pray to Jesus Christ, requesting to grant me an opportunity to go to Bible college and to study the Word of God. It was Friday. In Nepal, we have weekly church service. On prayer over, I returned back to my sister's residence, and the next day I went to the church, and the pastor told me that the church is planning to send me to the Bible college to study the Word of God. I was surprised to hear that, and I thank God. The following Sunday, I went to the Bible college for my 2 years diploma in theology. I went to the Bible college with a copy of a Bible, a songbook, a pair of shorts and pants, and my sister gave me 100 Nepali currency equal to $1. At that time, only these things were my property. $1, a Bible, a songbook, and a pair of shorts and pants. I started to study the Word of God. At that time, I had very great I was in very great financial crisis. I had no money to buy books, note copy, and pens. I had nothing. I started to collect some papers from the dustbin to write my assignment. And this race, I saw the hand of God upon me. In those days, I did not have soap to wash my clothes and to take bath. I used to take bath and wash my clothes without soap. I couldn't pay the tuition fee of my Bible college. After completing my 2 years education from the Bible college, I went to a place called Parvat Kusma. There I worked as an evangelist missionary, and I planted a church within a year. At that time, I used to get $24 as my monthly salary. Through that money, I paid the previous fees of my tuition of the Bible college, where I completed my theological education. After my diploma in theology, the Lord used me to plant the first church. Today, there are at least 100 believers in that church. The name of the church is Believers Church, Kusma Parvat, Nepal. After that, again, the Lord sent me to study 3 years Bachelor of Theology in India. In 2008, I got my graduation, and the same year, the Lord gave me vision to be an evangelist to the whole world. Since 2001, I started to preach the gospel, and after 2008, I started online evangelism through various social networks and blogs. The Lord inspired me to start a Facebook page, The Bible University. Through this page, I have been preaching the gospel. In 2010, again, the Lord used me to start a small fellowship in Kathmandu, Nepal. The name of our church is The Bible Church Nepal. The vision of our church is The Bible University and Gospel for the World. Some years before, the Lord inspired me to make our mission statement, declaring the gospel universally, educating the world, healing the nations, and reaching the people for our Lord Jesus Christ. At present, I have a team of 6 members, and we have 3 churches in Kathmandu, Nepal. 4 months before, when the biggest earthquake broke in Nepal, many of my friends helped me financially, and our team reached 5 districts and various villages to distribute disaster relief distribution. By the grace of God, we have 3,000 families with disaster relief distribution. At present, we have a mountain prayer, evangelism campaign, revival program in various churches in Nepal. Especially, the Lord is encouraging me to move to the third world with the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God is telling me to preach the gospel to the Islamic countries, communist countries, and all the atheist countries. Please pray. I have given my life to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to all over the world. The Lord called me to be an evangelist to every nation of the world. Please pray for me so that the Lord would open a big door for me so that I could reach for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. All praises to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for giving me this privilege, and may the testimony would touch the many hearts of the people, and may the Lord bless all the listeners of this testimony. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Did you want prayer?
Go ahead.
Did he want
prayer?
Did he want prayer? I thought he
wanted
prayer.
Did you hear,
okay,
dear brother? He would like prayer.
Heavenly Father, this evening time, I want to give thanks to you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And also, I pray for the listeners and your people from all over the world, Lord Father. Please bless them and guide them. And Lord Father, anyone is in distress or in problem, Lord Father, I pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord Father, please bless them, guide them, and use them. Also, I pray for the people at this moment, Lord Father, those who did not hear your gospel. Lord, I pray, may your Holy Spirit move upon the people, and may your gospel be reached all over the world so that people, they may come to know your glory and to accept you, Lord Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Father. Thank you for hearing our prayer. And I give this time, our life, and everything in your hand. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And
amen.
I just pray for forth as you go forth and as you pray and as you do what God wants you to do and as you travel for the angels of the Lord, the angels of the Lord, for the angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, to be in your midst, for healing and deliverance to flow like never before, God. We give you the praise and the glory. We decree miracles, miracles, miracles to flow in his ministry. And as we go to and for, God, oh, how do you shout? Put the word, the word of fire in his mouth. Let it flow, a consuming fire.
Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Heal by your power. God, we give you the praise and the glory. We come against the things that are not like you. Anything trying to come against his ministry to stop him from doing what you want him to do, we bind it, we break it into pieces, pull it down, plant it in the sea, cover it with the blood of Jesus. I say, go forth and let fire fall. Let people be healed, delivered, made free. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. And he's doing amazing work. And I do believe probably about, is it around 5? I'm trying. What time is it there, dear brother? Can you hear me, evangelist? He's calling all the way from Nepal, and I know they're like, we have like 11 hours time difference.
I have a friend as a missionary in Nepal. His name is Bob. So praise the Lord. Amen. Glory.
I don't know if we lost our connection, but I thank God that he called in, and he's going to try to share as God allows for him to be on the air. And probably every other Monday, he's really got a heart's desire. So I'm praying that God grows him in that. And I'm praying for there to be many listeners to hear him. And I thank God for what he's doing. And I was really enjoying your word tonight. And powerful, powerful word. And we still have a little bit of time left you feel led in sharing, dear sister. But, wow, the word's just been anointed tonight going forth. And what a blessing to be a part and know that the gospel's going forth all the way over in Nepal. And to see
people
so hungry and on fire for God. I thank God for that. And I thank God for the people that he continues to bring in. Praise God. And so excited, as I shared earlier, the 100th episode of Reaching Out Radio. And here we are, and we're still going strong, Evangelist Mary. And I thank God for that. And I thank you for each and every person that he's brought in to be a part of what he called me to do. And this is all of our ministry. And I thank God so much for that.
Hey, man, thank God for you and what he's doing in your life. And you're a tree, hallelujah, planted by the rivers of waters. You shall not be moved. And as little leaves and things come up on the tree and minister with you and all of that, praise God, praise God. Amen.
And I want you to pray for me and my husband, too, Sister Mary. This weekend we will be leaving. Friday will be gone. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we are going to be prayer chaplains at the Nehemiah Fest in Kansas City, Missouri. And set up actually like the city of Nehemiah, and it's actually going to be a powerful, powerful thing. And I'm looking forward to it. There's going to be over 40 or 50 bands there. It's all outside. We're all going to be seeking God, praying for people. So I stood before the Lord today. You know, you were talking about something earlier, and it's really something God was speaking to my heart about. And then, too, when I went and seen the war room this past weekend, God was really ministering. You know, I realized something. I'm doing a lot of work for the Lord, and I have a family and a life, but I really started acknowledging something. There were things that I was lacking in, and as you was praying and you were talking about our sin and various things, sometimes we don't realize it, even though we think we're doing the right things. Sometimes we get too busy to really spend that quality one-on-one time with God. And today I did that. I prioritized today. That I start my day every day in prayer, but I was reading the word out and decreeing things in my home over my children's life, what God's called us to do, over the ministers that God has called here. You know, just like with you never know how we're going to get attacked. The enemy will come at us in so many different ways. But it's important that we pray brothers and sisters, because we never know what each of us are going through. God knows, we need to lift one another. And I thank God for the prayers of you and my Brian and Leon, all my brothers and sisters all around the world, because Mom is starting to gain weight. She's starting to gain strength. She stood in faith, Sister Mary, and she did not get the feeding tube. She said with God, she was going to be able to consume foods to put nutrients in her body so she can start these treatments, this thing that they called in her life, gone. And I hugged her today, and it's tears of joy. When I hugged my mom, I didn't feel her bones like before. I felt every day I pray that God bring nutrients to her body, that he helps her to gain weight, that her muscles start to flourish, and she'll have new strength in her body. And today when I hugged her, I felt that strength in her body. And I know God is keeping her. It's still hard to see her not be able to, like today it's hard when she's at family outings and various things. She can't eat the things that she wants because she can't swallow. She has a choice because she can choke. But I'm trusting God this thing's going to be removed, cast out, broken down, and that he's already started a new work in her. And he's keeping her. And I thank God for what he's doing in her life. And I encourage people in what you're teaching about because it is important. You shared such truth today. I needed to slow down and take a little bit of things off of my plate so I could get back because I love to pray on my knees. I love to cry out to God. I love to read the word out in my house. There's power in that. When you speak the word, there is power. The word is living. And I felt such a move of the come over me this morning as I was pleading before God and praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for my mom and my family and my husband.
Amen.
Wow, I just, the war room, that
movie is so
powerful.
That's what we have to
powerful.
Do. That's what you have to
yes,
do.
Yes, and it is. And I said this morning, because I can play the keyboard by ear, but for the longest time I've just, I pushed it aside. And today I felt led, you know what? And I said, God, you know what? Use that talent to glorify you because that's all I've ever been able to play. It is all hymns and worship songs. Nothing
beautiful.
Else is ever coming. So that shows me that's what God's plan is for that gift. And I just have to be willing to keep faith going forth and playing. And I spent the morning in worship and in scripture. And that's just what my day has been, and it blessed me so much.
And in the adoration in your house.
Yes, and it blessed me so much. And I'm so thankful to God for giving me. You know, sometimes he has to correct us and show us, and I need to prioritize that because I have a lot that he's calling me to. I'm so blessed, and when we're all going to go to Decatur and what God's doing, it's a really big door that he's opening. I look forward. I would love to get with you. Hopefully you get down here early, and I think it would be a beautiful thing if we could sing a song together at the church. Like, I haven't spoke to Dar for a little bit. She's had a lot going on. But they're wanting us to come sing at a church before we go to the event. One of my brothers in Christ is a pastor. He actually even called us to do some work. But sometimes, even though we're asked to do things, it's really important to understand that it's not always God's will, and I didn't feel that door open for us to go that direction. Maybe in the future it will, but I felt God opening other doors, and it's important to be obedient because God's timing is perfect and his plan and his will in our life is perfect. So we gotta acknowledge those things. But I'm really excited. I've got flyers made, been putting them around town. I've spoke to the newspaper. They're supposed to put an ad in. And the way I'm understanding Mr. Martin, he's wanting to have the TV people to interview us too, dear sister. So I'm excited, you know, for the longest time. I'm overwhelmed with joy. For so long, I wanted to, and I know your heart's desire. For so long, I've wanted to go forth and minister to people. Songs and get out there, and God just keeps opening all these doors. I was just invited today to another huge event next June 4th. It's going to be on the riverfront over by Kansas City, Missouri, to be used as a prayer chapter. I am a prayer warrior. I know that when I pray, I come with a fervent prayer that our God is able, Sister Mary. And that's one thing I love about you. You have that same fire. And as I say, iron sharpens iron. Sister, God put you in my life for a reason. You are beautiful inside and out. You are
faithful. Thank you, honey. You are too. Well, thank you.
And I love you and I adore you. And I just thank God for what he's doing. And one of our dear brothers that's a minister here on Reaching Out Radio is really going through a lot right now, Mary. And I feel led for you and I know we didn't completely. I'm hoping if you still even have some word to share. But before the end of the broadcast, I really want us to pray for Brother Jerry Blaze tonight. God knows everything.
We can pray now.
He's working so hard right now, Sister Mary. He's He really needs some rest. He needs some things to change in his life. The man's been pulling two jobs, and he's an on fire man of God. We know his testimony. He was delivered from the occult. Of course, the enemy's going to try to come against him when he sees someone turn away from him and serve the mighty God that is our Creator. So I just really want us to go before God tonight and pray for our dear brother, because he is going through some things. I've got a burden in my heart tonight, and I just want God to change some things in his life, and we need to pray one for the other. So tonight, leading to the Spirit, I really would.
Did my friend ever come on?
No, I haven't seen her tonight.
That's okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. So anyway, you want to pray now or you want to wait for a minute?
Well, is there anything else that you was wanting to share about the consuming fire? Because we still have a little over, I think, 10 minutes left. I know we had some disruptions tonight. Sometimes those things are out of our control, and that's what happens with cell phones and technology. But I'm glad you're back on the air. And you were sharing a powerful, powerful message tonight. So if there's anything else that you want to share in regards
As we eat the word and be real to God, be real. No phone in this, because we don't get what we need or we want. When we're real to God and we're in eating the word, God reveal and he give us nuggets. And when we open our mouth, power, the Shekinah glory, he'll fill the place with his presence, you know. I remember one time when I prayed, I could just took a knife. All I did was said the Lord's Prayer, and I could have took a knife and cut the anointing. One time I remember when I prayed, in the place when we got ready to leave, it was just like somebody had just smoked the room up, the fragrance. And, you know, that night, it was a while ago, that night, I think kneecap got put in, and one lady hadn't heard from her son, and we said she was going to hear from him. But I'm talking about all kind of miracles was happening in that place. But if we want the goods and what God got, we have to be in the right place in him, you know. Not that we, you know, the fragrance of the Lord to just flow through us and for God to do what he wants to do and not what we want, but what he wants. We have to die to ourselves and let Jesus live on the inside. Because it ain't about us. It's about him. And for him to get his work done, what he want to do. And he need us more than ever. We are the army of God. People are dying and going to hell. Hell is expanding. God didn't make hell for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. And we got so many people going to hell. Saturday they got mad at me because I told the truth, and I don't care, because when we go forth with the word, the yokes and bondages is broken. Even if they they will get saved and delivered later. Praise God. We plant those seeds for them to grow up.
Many times the reason they get angry is because they know you're telling the truth, dear sister, and we have to tell the truth, and the word teaches us that we're going to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. We're responsible. Yeah. We have to be honest with people. We're responsible to share the truth. And people will come against us. I went through the same thing. But I stand true in the living word of God, and I won't compromise that. I won't lie to anybody. And many times we got to have a holy boldness. We can do that in love, but many times we got to have that holy boldness, and we will have people come against us. But got to be there with us. He equips us with what we need.
Amen.
I pray that those people come to know the truth, because they need to know the truth. And it's just so sad what you see in society now, in TV commercials and TV shows. Yeah. They're acknowledging that this is not, they make it like it's not important to God, that it's not sin. It is important to God. God created, as you said, a man and a woman. He created us for him. And create two men or two women. And it's not that we're hating people. It's that we hate that sin, because that is sin, and that sin will truly lead them to hell. And we have to stand for what is right. And we have to be a voice telling the truth. It really doesn't mean that we hate those people for their choices. We're to love them just like Jesus Christ loves everyone. But we have to tell them that if we sit and sugarcoat things and pat people on the back and tell them that it's okay, then that's going to be wrong.
He's going to be our judge. Whatever we're doing now, you know, whatever we do, I know God forgive us of sin. Think about if he's keeping a report card every day anyway, too. What you think might be on there? You know what I mean? And
yes,
think
I
about
do.
During the time of Lot, when those men wanted the men, and Lot wanted to give what, his two daughters, right?
Amen.
And you know
Amen.
Why? Yeah, you know why they didn't want the women? They wanted the men. And Lot knew that. And God did not, let Sodom and Gomorrah last. He destroyed them because of sin, homosexuality, lesbian, whatever else was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. So who are we today? You know, we probably worse off now than they were then. Who knows? You know what I mean?
That's completely right. And, you know, so many times people want to come against God and say, well, God's doing this and God's doing that, and why is this happening? It's exactly what you're talking about. Because of their sin, and how many times does God warn people, you know, and they turn away, they don't acknowledge him. And then people wonder why the wrath of God may come upon situations in life. God is merciful and loving, and he will give us warnings. He will try to wake us up. It's our own personal choice and free will and the decisions that we make. Our decisions decide outcomes in our life. Our sin decides outcomes in our life. We need to quit blaming God, stand up and be responsible and take upon ourselves the sin in our life and repent and be set free from it. When God speaks to you, he's wanting to bring correction, just like a parent. When our children are doing things wrong, and we know it's going to harm them, or it's not respectful to us, as the Word of God teaches, we're to honor our mother and our father. Well, what do we think our Heavenly Father is going to do? He's the Father to us all. And if he sees us track, of course he's going to correct us. And we should acknowledge that, and we need that in our life. Otherwise, we are going to be headed on the road that leads straight to hell. And people just need to acknowledge that sin is many times what's creating the problems in their life.
That's right. And we have the goods, and we got to get them out, especially. Oh, my God. We would have never thought we would have been where we are now. But that ain't the worst part. It's been said before, and it ain't President Obama's fault either. It's been said before he get out of office that we ain't going to even know America. It's because of the way people and our churches and everybody else. We won't know where we live, and we have to pray. If we ain't never prayed before, don't pray too late. Pray now. Maybe we can break yokes and bondages and bring forth more healing and deliverance instead of sitting up looking at all this stuff. One lady took prayer out of school, and they thought it couldn't happen, and it did. Don't take a lot of people to do something. So it shouldn't take a lot of saints to pray to break some of these yokes and bondages that's going on here. Instead of us talking about it, we need to pray. And
God,
see the hand
I love that you're not scared to tell truth, Sister Mary, and neither am I. Because I look at it this way, I don't tell the truth. I'm responsible if that person don't get shared truth when they're in front of me.
Right.
I could be the part of them going to hell. And when we know
that's
the truth and that word's alive living in us and we're saved and we're set aside and sanctified, we got to tell the truth. And many times people don't understand that, but we got to tell the truth. When I stand before the throne of God, I don't want to have him disappointed in me. I want to hear him say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. I have fear for the God I serve. I have reverence to the God I serve. I tremble if I think of doing him wrong. And I'm glad that fear is there because I know I'm acknowledging him in the right way. He's got me to that place. And when I start to think about him and his son and his sacrifice, many times just talking, even this morning reading the word, I will weep. Because I really, really think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. That's nothing to take lightly. So many
take that
lightly. But he bore the whole entire world's sin. Past generations, it's all already been here and gone. Generations that we're in now and the time to come if he should choose to tarry. Really think about what he bore. And then he took stripes upon his back. They beat him beyond recognition. And then not only did he get beat, he got mocked. He got spit upon. Carry a heavy cross up a hill. And then had to be put up upon that cross and look out across the crowd, the people that were earlier on worshiping him, crying out, Hosanna, and that crowd were mocking him, away with him, defy him.
Yes.
And what did he do? He spoke out and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is selfless love right there. He took that cross for us, the crown of thorns. They pierced his side. We really need to, do people really ever stop and think? You know, I was really thinking deep in that kind of stuff today, Sister Mary. What if God got too busy for us? What if that God would say, you know what, I don't have time for it? Where would we be at, Sister Mary? I really was thinking about that. So many people make God a convenience. That once something goes on in their life, they pull him out of their pocket and they want to acknowledge him. And then once that thing's better, they toss him aside like an old shoe. We're to love God in all life.
If we are living in the time of the rapture, which the pastor preached Sunday that we were, it can happen any time. A lot of people won't make the rapture. Okay? Why go through, and you know, we always hear it is going to happen, but you know, we never think it's going to because people don't think Jesus is coming. Not in daytime, not like that. They think they might have time to repent or get right. You know what I mean, right? Right now, when they're breathing, they do. But God said, if a man is around us, a woman, and we see them in their sin, and we don't say nothing, the blood of Jesus is cried at our hand. The blood is required at our hand. I'll put it like that. I think it's in the Ezekiel or whatever. And then it also say, if a saint, you talk about a saint on a sinner. Talk about if a saint is in sin and we don't say nothing. His blood is on our hand if we don't say nothing. If we don't let him know, hey, don't do that, you're going to end up in hell. The blood is on our hand when a saint is in sin and we don't say nothing, but we look to see what else is going to happen. We're in sin. And not only that, if a sinner and we don't say nothing, we're in sin. His blood is on our, required at our hand.
Hallelujah, sister. You're telling the truth.
And I think the next time when I'm going to find that, I think it's in Ezekiel, but it talks about that. For a sinner, somebody that got like in a backslidden stage, and for somebody not saved, when we're a saint, what we supposed to do? Because we help that man not end up going to hell, but if we don't, it's required of us. You know, his blood is on our hand or whatever. Its blood is on our hand. And sometimes people don't know when you're saved and you're acting like you don't have to do nothing or you got made and all that, you can end up losing your own salvation. Because God ain't in that. God is love. You know, pride comes before a fall. You know, we can't end up being prideful on all this stuff being saved. We ain't did nothing to get saved. Jesus did it. And then if we have that, we need to get saved, right? That was a bargain. Oh, praise the Lord. But anyway. We all have sinned, came share the glory of God. We all getting it together. But some people will never get it together because, you know, you got people that are in the church that are saved going to heaven. People in the church ain't going to heaven, you know, and ain't there to go to heaven. Are you still there or are you gone? She might be gone. Can you hear me?
I guess we're done.